And we're holding the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. We were talking about the question in the Mishnah about the question of how long you have to be made for a neder, how long a husband or a father has to be made for a neder. So the Mishnah had told us only one opinion on the subject, that you have until it gets dark that day. And then in the Gemara, we had a Braisa that actually Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon say that you have 24 hours. So now the Gemara is going to discuss something. And we also said in the Mishnah, the example we gave in the Mishnah had to do with where she made the neder on Shabbos and were made for it, and the husband or the father was being made for it while it's still Shabbos. So now let's take up that point about nedarim on Shabbos. The Gemara says Tznanhos, and we learn there with the last Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, Mefirin nedarim b'Shabbos. A husband or father is allowed to be made for nedarim on Shabbos, as we'll see soon in the Gemara why that is. V'nish olim the nedarim chayim l'tzarech Shabbos, and we're also able to ask a chacham about nedarim that are needed on Shabbos. Meaning, in other words, so you can have a regular case, a person made a neder, forget about a woman whose neder is going to be mufur by her husband or her father. You have a woman who doesn't have a husband or a father to be made for her nedarim, or who's a begeres and her father and is not married yet, and her father no longer has reshus, or an almana, etc., and of course a man. So any of them, they actually have to go and be matu neder by a rav. So they're allowed to do that on Shabbos. When it comes to nedarim, shehem l'tzarech haShabbos, which are for the needs of Shabbos. So now the Chachamim had the question. This Gemara is also in Masechta Shabbos over there. What does the Mishnah mean? Does it mean mefirin nedarim b'Shabbos l'tzarech haShabbos? Does it mean the words l'tzarech haShabbos? Is it referring to both cases or only to the second case? So is it saying that hafaras nedarim as well can only be nedarim that are needed for Shabbos? So let's say, for example, she had made a neder, say that she's not going to eat meat. So now that directly impinges on Oinig Shabbos. So then we're saying that you can be made for that neder on Shabbos. Or maybe not. Maybe you can be made for a neder on Shabbos, even where it's not needed for Shabbos. So in other words, mefir and dorim b'Shabbos would mean, as a general thing, you're always allowed to be made for nedarim on Shabbos. And then when it comes to nisholin, morning, when it comes to being matu neder, it would have to be l'tzarech haShabbos. And the idea would be because since Hataras Nedarim requires, as we're going to discuss soon, requires a base din of three, then therefore that looks more so it looks more like a din Torah on Shabbos. So actually the Ran says there are two possibilities. One is it looks too much like a din Torah on Shabbos. We know you're not allowed to do a din Torah on Shabbos, Xeder Drabanon, because you may come to write. Hataras Nedarim, of course, there's no concern that you're going to write. There's no writing involved, but still maybe the Chachamim said that you shouldn't be matu nedarim on Shabbos when you need the kind where you need a beis din of three, because that looks too much like a din Torah. Or the other possibility the Ran says is because you shouldn't do it on Shabbos, because in any case there's no deadline. You don't do it today, fine, you'll be matu the neder tomorrow. There's no deadline, as opposed to when it comes to being made for a neder, when a husband is going to be made for his wife or a father for his daughter, he has a deadline. If he doesn't do it by the time it gets dark, then he's not going to be able to. So what does the Mishnah mean? And in fact, the Rosh points out from the Gemara there in Shabbos, according to the possibility that Shehem L'tzarech HaShabbos refers to the whole Mishnah, the reason why it would be saying B'Shabbos separately, why not just saying Fir Nedarim, V'Nesha'on L'Nedarim, Shehem L'tzarech HaShabbos, would be in order to make that distinction, because after all, Hafara doesn't require a Beis Din, and Sheila does. Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, the top. So what is it? So the bottom line is, the question is, can a husband be made for nedarim for his wife or a father for his daughter when that neder has nothing to do with Shabbos? So the Gemara says Tashma, let's bring a proof. To Tani Rav Zuti Dvei Rav Papi, Rav Zuti taught a braisa in the yeshiva of Rav Papi, Ein mefir nedarim el l'tzarech haShabbos, that you can only be made for nedarim when they're needed for Shabbos. So yes, if the neder directly impinges on Shabbos, say, for example, she made a neder that she won't eat meat, then yeah, you can be made for it on Shabbos. But according to this brisa, if let's say she had made a neder that she's not going to do some malacha, where in any case she can't do that malacha on Shabbos anyhow, then no, you wouldn't be able to be made for it on Shabbos. But the Gemara says, Omer Rav Ashi, holitznan hochi. But Rav Ashi says that's not what our Mishnah says. The fact is, you look at our Mishnah, it says, Nodra im chashecha. Our Mishnah had said that if she made the neder right before it got dark, mefer lo ad shelo techshach, then he has to be mefer before it gets dark. Now, v'i'amet l'tzorech ha-shabbos ein shelo l'tzorech ha-shabbos loy. Now, if you say that he can only be mefer nedarim that are necessary for Shabbos, then my iri chashecha. Then why mention the point where it was right before dark? Then he wouldn't be able to. He wouldn't be able to be made for even if it was in the middle of the day. Because after all, it's not needed for Shabbos. Because what are we talking about? Well, the Mishnah is telling us that if she made the neder right before Shabbos is over, then he only has the next couple of minutes before it gets dark, before Shabbos is over, to be made for it. Well, whatever neder she made then is obviously not going to impinge on Shabbos, because whatever it is not preventing her from enjoying Oneg Shabbos. The fact that she's depriving herself for a couple of minutes is hardly a deprivation. So, and still the Mishnah is telling us that he could be mefer. So implying, in other words, that she made the, let's say it was a neder that she's not going to eat meat. Fine, but the neder is only going to be in effect during 5 minutes of Shabbos anyhow. So that's not really impinging on Shabbos. Why would the Mishnah say that case? The Mishnah would actually be able to say that the Mishnah could tell us that anyway he can't be mefer because it's not needed for Shabbos. There's no sort of Shabbos in taking away the neder so that it won't be in effect for the last few minutes of Shabbos. In fact, Tosfos and the Rosh say that, okay, you know, if it was a little bit before dark, fine, you could be talking about that. Maybe, in fact, those few minutes would make a difference. But the Mishnah is saying generically that she made the neder ad shalai techshach, which could imply that it was really right before it got dark. So then, in that case, there's no oneg Shabbos involved. There's no covered and oneg of Shabbos involved in being matu that neder. And still, the Mishnah is implying that you could be made for that neder. And still, the Mishnah is implying that you could. So therefore, showing that you could do it even where it's not l'tzorech haShabbos. So the Gemara says, actually, tanoi. You should know something, actually. You should know that it's actually subject to a machloikas tanoi. So now,
why do you say the Mishnah necessarily talks about Yetzias HaShabbos is not Knisias HaShabbos? How do we know that?
Because the expression in the Mishnah was that if she made the neder the Lele Shabbos on Friday night, then he has Friday night and the whole day and the whole rest of Shabbos ad shetechshach till it gets dark. But then the Mishnah continues, nodra im chashecha, if she made the neder right before it got dark, mefer ad shetechshach, then he can be mefer until it gets dark, sheim choshcha v'lahefer and yochel lahofer, because if it gets dark and he's not mefer, he can't be mefer. So the implication is that first the Mishnah is talking about that she made the neder Friday night, and we were saying that he has until the end of Shabbos. And the second one is talking about where she made the neder right before the end of Shabbos.
The question, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing. The Mishnah is implying that we're talking about she made the neder on Shabbos right before the end of Shabbos.
I don't understand your answer.
The answer is that, the Rosh and Tosfos both point out that, like this, when the Mishnah says that he can be mefer until it gets until it gets dark, that you can't be medayik that it means necessarily that he can be mefer a neder that has nothing to do that's not necessary for oneg Shabbos, because you could say you're talking about that she made the neder much earlier in the day. But in the sefer, since it says that she made the neder right before chashecha, and you're saying that he can be mefer, the implication is, since the first part of the Mishnah was talking about that she made the neder on Friday night, The implication is that the second one is talking about where she made it on Shabbos, shortly before the end of Shabbos. And that wouldn't be on Sodach Shabbos. So evidently then, the Mishnah must be saying that you can be Mefer on Shabbos, even where it's not with Sodach HaShabbos. So in fact, the Gemara says Tanoi. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, you're right. You do have on Mishnahs implying that you can be made for Nedarim even when they're not needed for Shabbos. On the other hand, we do have Rav Zutti's Braisa that says that you can't. So therefore, the fact is Tanoi. It's actually a Machlokas Tanoim. Because, as we learned yesterday, HaFaras Nedarim Kol HaYoyim Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon Omru Mesles, that we say that HaFaras Nedarim can take place throughout the day is what the Tanakama, is what the Tana of our Mishnah said, so only until it gets dark. But Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon say you have 24 hours. So therefore, Lamanda Amar Kol HaYom Ein Tfei Loi. So now, according to the opinion, which is the Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah and the Tanakama of the Braisa, that you only have until it gets dark. Afilu Shalom Letzor HaShabbos Mefer. Then you would be able to be made for a neder on Shabbos, even where it's not for Tzedek HaShabbos, because otherwise the deadline is approaching. Because otherwise, if he's not made for that day, he's not going to be able to be made for anymore. And therefore, the Chachamim gave him a break and said that fine, he can be made for on Shabbos, because otherwise she's going to have to go to Beis Din, and it's going to be a big hassle. And she may even herself not have charata. Keep in mind that the husband or the father can be made for the neder, even if she herself wanted to keep the neder, but he has the right to overrule it. So like this, if he doesn't have the chance to do it today, he won't have that opportunity. Therefore the chacham give him a break and allow him to do it. On the other hand, lamanda oma me'esles. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that you anyway have 24 hours, Letzorech HaShabbos Ein, Shalom Letzorech HaShabbos Loi. Then according to them, that's where Rav Zutti's Braisa would go, according to them, that you can only do it on Shabbos, only if it's Letzorech HaShabbos, but not otherwise, because anyway, you'll have time after Shabbos when you can be made for that neder. Because let's say she made the neder in the middle of the day on Shabbos. Fine, you're going to have until the middle of the day on Sunday, according to that opinion, to be made for the neder. So therefore, there's no hurry to do it. Therefore, there's no hurry to do it on Shabbos. And therefore, the Chacham, therefore, that Braisa is going to say that according to that opinion, we're going to leave things as is, and you can't be made for it on Shabbos. Because you could just as well do it after Shabbos. Whereas again, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, which is also the Tanakama of the Braisa, since after Shabbos it won't be possible to be made for anymore, because you only have until it gets dark, then therefore the Chachamim will allow him to be made for on Shabbos, whether it's needed for Tzorah HaShabbos or not.
So basically, the argumentation is falls on the definition of what is a day. Is it 24 exactly. hours or is it Shkia?
That's exactly what we discussed previously in the Gemara. You have two psukim that seem to, that the, you have one pasuk, you have the pasuk b'yom shamoy, which implies that it's only on the day that he hears until it gets dark. On the other hand, you have miyom el yom, which implies that you have 24 hours. So we said that, in fact, is the basis of the machloikas of the Tanoim, and each one is a, so the Tanakama is going to say b'yom shamoy means exactly that, only on the day that he hears it. But you need the words miyom el yom, because otherwise you would think that it means that he can only do it during the day, but never at night. And that's not so, because if she makes the neder at night, he can be made for it by night. So therefore, miyom oyom teaches us that. And on the other hand, according to Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, it's the other way around. They learn from miyom oyom that you have 24 hours, and they say miyom shamoy teaches us you shouldn't think miyom oyom means maybe from a certain day of the week until the same day the following week. No, it means 24 hours.
When the canceling of a neder implies an acquisition, let's say she made a neder not to acquire the house that's under contract, can the husband nullify on Shabbos that neder, which will cause her to automatically acquire a field or a house on Shabbos? Is that something that's allowed?
It's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I mean, first of all, that wouldn't be a shavua. That wouldn't be a neder anyway. That would be a shavua. That's a whole different thing. But fine, a husband can be made for a shavua as well. It's a good question. Can he be made for a neder or a shavua in such a way that it would cause something also to happen on Shabbos? I don't know. It's a good question. I have no idea. With that said, though, by the way, now you could have a case where she made the neder on Erev Shabbos and the 24 hours are over on Shabbos. So then the Rosh says that actually then even according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, you would be able to be made for it on Shabbos for the same reason, because otherwise the deadline is coming and you're not going to have the time to do it. So the Gemara continues. Now, what about, let's address the other part of the Mishnah. Again, we quoted a Mishnah in Shabbos that said, Mefirin Nedarim B'Shabbos. So now we've established that it doesn't only mean you can be made for Nedarim that are needed for Shabbos. It means you can be made for Nedarim on Shabbos, no matter what kind of Neder it is, because you have the ability to, because otherwise you're not going to have the ability to be made for the Neder once Shabbos is over, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, which is the Halacha, that you only have until it gets dark. So now let's set the second half of that Mishnah said, we said you're allowed to go and ask the Chacham to be Matu Neder, but there you only can do it for Nedarim that are needed for Shabbos, because there's no particular deadline. You can just as well do it after Shabbos. So now the question is, Kishaloi Hoyolahem Pnai, are we talking about only where there was no opportunity before Shabbos to be matur that neder? So say, for example, that the neder was made right before Shabbos, or that there was no chacham available on Friday. Or maybe are we saying, even if there would have been time to be matur neder before Shabbos, and you weren't, nevertheless, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos as well. So what does the Mishnah mean as far as that? So Toshma, let's bring a proof. There is the kiku le rabbanon le braid rav zuter braid rav zeira afilu bin adarim shayilam pnaim ba'odia. We have in fact an actual case. Usually it's funny, you know. Usually you use Toshma. We bring something from a Mishnah or a Braisa or whatever. Here we have Toshma from an actual case that was done. This is in the sense that we say Maiser Rav, something that was actually done in practice, is in a way stronger than a halacha that we have in a Mishnah or a Braisa or whatever. Anyway, well, because we see that they actually did that in practice. When you have something in a Mishnah or a Braisa, conceivably it could mean the halacha is technically that way, but in practice we don't do it. But here we see that in practice the Chachamim got involved and were Matur and Neder for the son of Rav Zuter, Bereder of Ze'era, where he had made a neder, and they were matur it for him on Shabbos, even though there had actually been time to be matur those nedarim before Shabbos. So yes, we see that it does in fact, that it can in fact be done. Provided that the neder is Letzorah HaShabbos. So that we said, as far as Nish'olin, it does have to be Letzorah HaShabbos. So this son of Rav Zutra had made a neder, let's say, that he's not going to eat meat or do something else that would impinge on Shabbos. So even though there had been time on Friday when he could have been matur the neder, since he didn't, and it came into Shabbos, then the Chachamim sat down and were matur his neder.
That's the reason why he didn't do it. He forgot.
Whatever the reason was, maybe because they weren't available. It doesn't really matter. The point is, whether it's that they weren't available, or whether it's that he made the neder right before Shabbos. Well, no, if he made the neder right before Shabbos, there was no time. No, it could be, let's say, for example, the Ran gives an example that there were no Chachamim available on Friday.
It has to be Letzorah HaShabbos.
But it has to be Letzorah HaShabbos, right. That's the point. Unlike Hafaras Nedarim, we've established now that you can be made for Nedarim on Shabbos, even when it's not Letzorah HaShabbos, because otherwise you have a deadline coming. But when it comes to Hafaras Nedarim, with a Chacham, with a Yochid Mumcho, with Shloisha Hedyotis, that you need, that you can only do only if it's Letzorah HaShabbos.
Means the husband doesn't...
Hafaras is the husband for his wife, or the father for his daughter, right? That's the point. In other words, it looks much less like a din Torah because it's being done in private and only by him, right? Yeah. So now, in this connection, Sabar of Yosef Lameimar. So now, Rav Yosef thought to say, Nish'olin Adonim B'Shabbos might be only be Yochid Mumcha Ein B'Shloisha Had Yerkes Lo. Now, when it comes to Ataras Nedarim, we're gonna talk about it a little bit now, and we'll continue more tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. What do you need exactly to be Matur and Neder? So you can have, we're going to end up saying that there are two ways. You can have a yochid mumcha. You can have one individual who himself is a mumcha. And we learned earlier in the Masechta, there's a machlokas who was showing him what exactly a mumcha means for this purpose. Does it actually mean that he has to have smicha, the original smicha ish mipiyish from Moshe Rabbeinu, which doesn't exist nowadays? Or does it just mean that he has to be expert in and out in all of the halachas of Nedarim? Does it have to be that he's Yochid Bedorai, that he's the greatest Talmid Chacham of his generation? Whatever it is, in practice, in Shulchan Aruch, it says we don't have anybody of that caliber now, so therefore we don't do Hataras Nedarim with Yochid Mumcha. The other possibility is Shlosha Hedyotis, three regular people, where we don't mean Stam Amaratzim off the street, we mean people where if we teach them the halachas of Hataras Nedarim, they'll be able to understand. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef thought to say, when we say Nish'ol and Adorim B'Shabbos, would only be Yochid Mumcha Ein, you would only be able to have a Yochid Mumcha do it, B'Shloisha Hadyotis Loi, but not to have three regular people do it, Mishum Demechzi Kedina. Because then when you have three people already, it looks much more like a Din Torah, and since, as we said before, you can't do a Din Torah on Shabbos, So even now, and the Ran says, even if we hold, as we'll discuss tomorrow, Bez Hashem, even if we hold that a Yochid Mumcha means somebody who has Smicha, still, you only have one of them, so it's not so noticeable, therefore it doesn't look as much like a Din Torah. In other words, the point is, a Yochid Mumcha, in principle, can judge Dinei Torah by himself also. We say in Pilkei Avos, Alti Don Yechidi, don't do that, but in principle, Al Pi Halacha, he's allowed to. Just Pirkei Avos is advising it's not a good idea to, because it's always better to have more people. It's always better to have other people that you can consult with. Shein don yichidi ela echad is the expression in Pirkei Avos. The only one who can judge, who can really judge alone and know that he's judging truthfully, is Hashem.
But here we don't want to judge. That,
no, one second. So that's the point, in other words. So the Ran is saying like this. When it comes to a regular Din Torah, the fact is you can have a Yochid Mumcha as well. So you could argue that having a Yochid Mumcha for Nedarim also looks like a Din Torah. The fact is, though, for our purposes, we're saying it doesn't because it's only one person and therefore it's not as noticeable. So even though technically, yes, a Yochid Mumcha could judge a Din Torah, but it's not as noted, and he wouldn't be allowed to do that on Shabbos. But Rav Yosef is thinking HaToras Nedarim would be different. To be Matur Neder with a Yochid Mumcha on Shabbos would be fine, but not to have Shlosha Hedyotis, because that really does look like a Din Torah. But Omale Abaya, but Abaya says, no, Kibin de Sviril on Afilim Umud, Kibin de Sviril on Afilim Umud, since we hold that you're able to be Matur Neder even standing, you don't necessarily need to sit down, as we're going to discuss soon. Afilu b'kroivim, and you can even have relatives be matur neder, whereas relatives can't judge a din torah. But afilu b'alayla, and you can be matur neder even by night. Loy mischazi kedina. Therefore, it doesn't really appear like a din torah, and therefore you'd be allowed to do it on Shabbos when it's l'tzorach haShabbos. The Rosh says, by the way, now we learned previously at the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Beis, we mentioned over there that we said Chiya Barav would be shooting arrows while he was listening to people who came to him for Ataras and Dorim. Rabba Barav Huna would stand or sit. So the Rosh says that actually that piece of Gemara actually belongs over here. Here, where we're talking about the question, do you have to be standing or do you have to be sitting for Ataras Nedarim, or could you be standing? That piece belongs over here, where now it would be relevant to mention that Chiya Barav held that you don't really need to be paying close attention, therefore he could even be shooting arrows, practicing archery while he's listening to people being Matur Neder, or he brings another girsa. The girsa we had in front of us in the Gemara was Shodi Gira Uvodik, meaning that he would shoot arrows while he was asking the person about Ataras Nedarim. The other girsa the Rosh brings over here is Shodi Nidra Uvodik, while he was listening to Ataras Nedarim, he would meanwhile be checking a shchita knife to see if it's sharp. Either way, the point is he wasn't giving it his fullest attention. And then we're saying, Rabba Barav Huna would be standing or sitting, implying that he didn't hold necessarily, you have to be sitting. If he happened to be standing, it would be Matur Neder while standing. Sitting, because he held, it doesn't matter. As we're going to discuss in the Gemara soon, it boils down to the question of how carefully do you have to investigate to find grounds for Ataras Nedarim? If you have to investigate carefully, then you have to sit in order to be able to think about it, and you can't be doing other things meanwhile. If you say you don't really need to investigate it much, then you can be standing, and you can even, like Chiya Barab, be doing other things. So we'll see that in the Gemara soon.
there's a set rule, or it depends.
Well, that's what we're going to see soon. The question is, can you use charoto, or do you need a Pesach? We're going to get to that soon on Amud Beis. By the way, this that we're mentioning that relatives can be matur neder, the poskim do point out. Now it is true, even though now relatives are possible to judge a din Torah, but they're allowed to be matur neder. On the other hand, you have other kinds of psulim that are possible to be dayonim. For example, you can't have a person who's done aveira, women or people who did aveiras or whatever. Rabbi Akiva Eger brings that only when it comes to relatives, there's no actual psul in the relatives themselves. After all, they're kosher to judge other people. And the same thing, nighttime, it's not really a psul in the goof, it's only a psul of time. Therefore, we allow it by a Tartus and Dari. But if, let's say, for example, women, children, people who did Averus or whatever, are all possible to be matu nedir, because they're always possible to sit on a base din always. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rab Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rab, halacha mefirin darim balayla. The bottom line halacha is you're allowed to be mefirin darim by night. So the Gemara says, why do we need Rav to be telling us that? V'hamas nisin, he nadr balayla Shabbos. Our Mishnah said exactly that if she made the neder on Friday night, then he has that entire night as well as the day to be mefir. So we see clearly, now we're going back to Aforas Nedarim, you see clearly Aforas Nedarim can take place by night. Ella Ema, you're right. You have to correct what Rab Abba is reporting in the name of Rav Huna. In the name of Rab, it's actually halacha nisholin balayla. The halacha is you're allowed to ask the chacham, you're allowed to be matur neder by night. Now that we don't see clearly in the Mishnah, so that we needed Rab to be informing us that. However, omale Rab Abba la Rav Huna, however, Rab Abba says to Rav Huna, after he had quoted Rav Huna as saying this in the name of Rab, he asks him, Omar Rab Hochi, did Rab in fact say that? Omalai Ishtik, so Rav Huna says he was quiet. He didn't actually say this explicitly, but when I suggested this to him, he was quiet. And then he asked, now there's two different girsois over here in the Gemara. So Omalai Ishtik Ka'amret or Shossi Ka'amret. So Rav Huna is asking Rav Abba, why are you asking me that? Is it you're telling me Ishtik that I ought to be quiet, that I ought not to say that in Rav's name if you didn't really say that? Oy Shossi or Ashkian is a different girsa, Ka'amret, or are you saying I'm very impressed that you said that and I want to offer you a drink?
To drink,
because the word shossi, because the word shossi, the word ishtik can also be related to the word shossi, which means ishkion, which means to give me a drink. So the Ran brings, there are actually two different girsois over here. There are kind of two girsois blended over here in the way we have it in front of us in the Gemara. So one way is that Rav Huna is asking of Abba, you're asking me, did Rav really say this? Is this because you like this and you want to offer me a cup of wine in praise of it? Or you're telling me, you're saying, how could you say that? Rav said that and you want me to be quiet and not say that. The other way of understanding it is that Rav Abba is asking Rav Huna, did you clearly hear Rav saying this? And Rav Huna tells him that no, I told it to Rav and Rav was quiet. He didn't answer. So now Rav Abba is saying, well, was he quiet because he agreed? He was quiet as like, fine, you know, I hear what you're saying. Or was he quiet as like he's saying, you know, don't bother with that. I'm not even going to bother responding to you because that's that. But yeah. So now that also affects the next line of the Gemara when the Gemara continues, Omer of Ikaba Ovin. So now if you say according to the second way, then actually we need the word Toshma before it, because now the Gemara is going to bring up proof that Rab himself held this way, as we're going to see a case involving Rab himself. On the other hand, if we go according to the first way, that Rav Huna is asking of Abba, what's your motivation in asking me the question? Then there's no sense in bringing a proof from what Rav says. So then from what Rav did, so then the Gemara is just saying a separate statement. So the Gemara continues, Omer of Ikaba Obin. sort of ikaba of until we had, by the way, this kind of thing, ishtiyan or ishtik. We had something very similar at the end of ksubas. We had something similar as well, where one of the chachamim says something. I think it was also Rav Huna over there, and another one of the chachamim calls him on it and says the same thing. Are you saying that you're praising it, or are you saying that you're telling me it's better not to say that?
Give me a drink.
The praising it, meaning give me a drink. Yeah, that you're offering me a drink and in praising it. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Omer of Ikaba Ovin is the kick lay Rav le Rabba. Rav one time dealt with a case of Rabba, a neder of Rabba, the Kituna de Bei Rav in a small room of the Beis Medrash." So it's like a side room. A Kituna means like a side room of the Beis Medrash. And Oymed and Rav, when he was listening to this Hatara Sedarim, he was standing, Yechidi, he was doing it by himself because he was a Yochid Mokha, or Balayla, and it was at night. So again, if we go
all the above.
The point is, again, if we have the Girsa before, that it was Rav Huna asking Rav Abba, what's your motivation in asking me the question, then this is a separate thing. If you say that it's Rav Abba is asking Rav Huna, did Rav in fact say this, or did he just, and Rav Huna tells him he's quiet, and then Rav Abba is saying, well, why was he quiet? Is because he agreed with you or not? Then the Gemara is bringing Toshma. You see a case where Rav himself was Matur Neder at night. So the Gemara continues, Omer Rabba, Omer Rav Nachman, Halacha Nishol Nedarim Oymed Yechidi Ovalayla. The halacha is that, yes, you can ask to be Matur Neder. When the Rav is standing, he doesn't have to be sitting for the purpose. Yechidi, he can be by himself. You don't necessarily need three. Ovalayla, it can be at night. Over Shabbos, it can also be on Shabbos, as we said before, when it's needed for Shabbos. Over Kroivim, and it can also be involving relatives, as we said before. And Rav Nachman is adding, even if you had time before Shabbos, so that's what we said before on Amud Aleph, that even if there would have been time before Shabbos to be Matur the Neder, but for whatever reason you didn't, because you didn't feel like being Matur Neder yet then, or because the Rav wasn't available, whatever it is, you're able to do it on Shabbos. So now, let's address that one.
Doesn't say over here if it has to be with regard to Shabbos or...
No. So that we know. We already established before that it does have to be let's start with Shabbos. Yeah.
In a normal case of judgment, the Dayan has to be sitting?
Usually the Dayanim have to be sitting during a Din Torah, yeah. Yeah. The Edim and the Baal Edim stand in front of them, the Dayanim are supposed to be sitting.
What's
yeah.
wrong with you? Hashem.
We learned, no, with Avraham Avinu and Hashem, there wasn't a Din Torah involved. No, we learn it actually. Rashi does, maybe that's true. Rashi mentions at the beginning of Vayera, yeah, that Avraham is sitting by the entrance of his tent and Hashem is Kaviyachol standing over him. And he says, that's how it'll be in the future, that your descendants will be sitting in Dinei Torah and I'll be standing over there and observing. Yeah, that's true. Okay. So now the Gemara says, let's address this one about Oymed. So we're saying that you're able to stand when you're being Matur Neder. And we had the example, we're saying that Rav himself did that. The question is, Vahatanya, we learn in a Braisa, and we have a story in Erevin, a long story over there, where one part of the story is that a person comes, while Rav Gamliel is traveling on the road, while he's riding on a donkey, a person comes to him to be Matur Neder. And the Gemara and the Braisa says in the middle of the story, Yorad Rav Gamliel min hachamor, Rav Gamliel got down off the donkey, v'nis'atif, and he wrapped himself up in his talis, v'yoshav, and he sat down, v'hitur le'nidr, and he was matur the guy's neder. So you see that you can't be riding by assumption. You can't be standing either. It means, in other words, you have to pay your full attention to it. So we see that. Now, fine, that was Rav Gamliel, but we don't find anybody else who argues with Rav Gamliel about that. So how could we be saying that you could do it standing? The answer is, and again, here we have a couple of different explanations and a couple of different girsos. Rav Gamliel sava poiskin b'charata. Rav Gamliel holds that. Yeah, now, like this, we've discussed before in the Masechta a number of times. What are the grounds that you can be matur neder on? Now, there's two different ways. There's charota, when the person says he regrets that he ever made the neder. And then there's pesach, when you find he may not regret the neder as a whole, but you find some side effect or some consequence of the neder that he didn't realize when he made the neder. We're therefore, when we vatal the neder on that basis, and as we learned earlier in the Masechta, neder shabbat mitzase, bato kuloi, that once you mevatal part of it, then you mevatal the whole thing. So we give an example. We have an example earlier in the Masechta. Let's say a person made a neder not to eat meat for a period of time, and we remind him, you know, you should realize you have a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos for earning Shabbos. And if he said, you know, he wouldn't have made the neder, then in that case, so at least he wouldn't have formulated it in those words. So then we're able to be mevatel the whole neder. So now, Rav Gamliel holds poiskin b'charota that Rav Gamliel would hold that you have to start out by showing that the neder to begin with was based on a mistake, namely that it's based on charota. So now for that you need to think into that carefully to be able to go back to the beginning of the neder and show that the whole thing was a mistake. Therefore, miyaka neder ba'inan, that would require then that we're uprooting the neder to begin with. Uboy yuni, so you have to think into it. Ahochi yosha, that is why Rav Gamliel said. Whereas Rav Nachman would hold that you don't need to start with charota, even if the person doesn't say I regret it, we can still be matter the neder based on some other grounds, and therefore for that you don't need v'afilu ma'umad, so then you can even be standing. Now that is how the Mefarish has the girsa over here. The Ran here has the girsa the other way around, that it's Rav Gamliel says ein poischen b'charata, that you can't use charata, meaning that you need a pesach. Well, a pesach you have to start thinking into. What are the consequences of this neder? What are the consequences that flow from this neder? And therefore, which one of them can we use? Can we ask him, do you realize this consequence? And therefore, you wouldn't have made the neder if you had realized it. As opposed to Rav Nachman would say, poischen b'charata, therefore, so all you need is to ask the person, oh, do you have charata? And that doesn't take much thinking into. Therefore, on that grounds, you could do it standing. So in fact, you have in that Gemara, in Erevin, you have Rashi and Tosfos argue on what happened over there when the Gemara discusses the same point over there. Rashi and Tosfos have essentially the same argument there as the Mefarish and the Ran do over here, what the meaning is, what Rav Gamliel holds versus what we hold Lahalacha. But it boils down to that according to Rav Gamliel, you have to think carefully into it. Therefore, you can't be standing. You have to be sitting, or in Rav Gamliel's case, he's sitting on the ground rather than on the donkey in order to give it your full attention. Whereas according to Rav Nachman and according to Rav, and this is the halacha, you don't really need to do that. You don't really need to give it your full attention. Therefore, you're able to be standing. Therefore, we had before that Chiyah Barab would even be shooting arrows or checking a shechita knife while he's listening. Because if all you need to ask the person is, do you have charota? Well, then fine. That doesn't take much thinking into.
You're allowed to feed them with charota.
So you're allowed to ask them, do you have charota? The halacha is, in the end, that the Ran brings over here. The Ran brings over here from the Rashba, who says, now we hold poischin b'charata. We do hold that you can begin with charata. You don't necessarily need to find a pesach. Although we've discussed before, it says in Shulchan Aruch, what the noyik to do is you use the charata itself as a pesach. You say, if you admit, when you made this neder, if you realize that eventually you're going to come to regret this neder, would you have made that neder? Well, if he says that not, as we would expect, then that itself can be a pesach. That itself is a consequence of the neder that he didn't think of at the time. So now the Ran brings from the Rashba that we taka don't need to sit. And he goes on to say, so even if the person does not have charata, even if in fact you need to find a pesach, then the Rashba says, since you could have begun Mu'umad, in other words, the Rashba says like this, when you're being matur neder, you're allowed, the halacha is you're allowed to start by asking the person, do you regret this neder? Now, there are two possibilities. Either he says yes, and we can be matur the neder based on that alone, or he says no, and then we have to find a pesach. So the Rashba is saying that being the case, even when it comes to the part where you have to find a pesach, you ask him, do you regret the neder? He says, no. Now you have to start thinking, can I find a pesach? That part, the Rashba is saying, you can do standing as well. because once you've begun standing, you're allowed to continue standing. The Ran says, I don't really like that. If you have to find a Pesach, then yeah, you have to sit. But because you can begin with Charota, and you can be Matur Nedu exclusively on the basis of Charota, therefore you're allowed to stand. There's, again, Rabbi Gamliel had held that you can't. You always have to start by looking for a Pesach, therefore you have to be sitting in the first place.
So when you have, let's say you come with a wife, and going against her will. So
now, one second, Hafara is different. Hafara doesn't require her das. Oh. So that's what we're even going to talk about in the Gemara soon, about Koifin. We're going to get into that soon. But no, here we're talking about Hatoras Nedarim. So Hatoras Nedarim obviously requires... one second. Hatoras Nedarim obviously requires that you... now there are two possibilities. It can be that you are coming to be Matur Neder. Well, in that case, obviously you're having Charota, otherwise you wouldn't be coming to be Matur Neder. You can also have the case where people are bringing you, or even that Beistin is summoning you to be Matur your Neder, and then you may not have Charota at all. Then they need to find a Pesach. Yeah, what were we going to say?
Yeah, there's three options here, and I'd like you to clarify. Do you need Charata and a Pesach? Do you need all Charata only or a Pesach only?
Okay, so this is, we're saying there's machlokas here in the Gemara, whether Charata is enough or whether you need a Pesach. Everybody agrees that you can be Matur Neder based on a Pesach. The question is, is Charata all by itself enough, or do you need something else? So we're saying, now there is a machlokas about that. The halacha we're saying over here, and we learned earlier in the Masechta, is charota is technically enough. If the person says, I'm mischaret, you see it in Ataras Nedarim that we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah, for example. The person gets up over there, Shimon Rabbi said, Dayanim Mumchim, he's still all the old Nedarim that I made. He says, I regret them all that I ever made them, and I want to ask Hataras Nedarim for them. You don't see him mentioning a Pesach for them. So yes, Charota is enough. However, it does say in Shulchan Aruch, as I said before, that there are the minhag developed because in order to honor the opinions that say that a Pesach is required, that you use the Charota itself as a Pesach. Like this, Charota by itself would be, you ask him, do you have Charota on that nether? He says, yes. They say, good, Motulach. Making the Charota into a Pesach means that we ask him, when you made this nether, did you realize the reasonable possibility that you might in the future regret ever having made this nether? Because you realize that you made it in haste or something like that. And now if you would realize that at the time, you wouldn't have made the nether. If he says yes, then that itself forms a Pesach. So now you made the Charota itself into a Pesach, and then you can be Matur Neder with that, even according to the opinions that you need a Pesach.
I think, in my mind, a Pesach and a Charota are two different things, and that's the reason why.
That's what we're saying. They are.
No. One second. What you just said shows that it's not. It is the same thing.
One second. There are two different grounds of being Matur Neder. You can turn one into the other. You can turn Charota into a Pesach, or you can have a Pesach that's not based on Charota. Again, a Pesach
I don't think
not,
you can.
One second. Stop a second. A Pesach does not, in and of itself, require Charota. A Pesach could be, for example, we learned earlier in the Masechta, we had a Perek Rebbe Eliezer talked about Pesachim. So we said, for example, let's say we tell him that when you made this neder, did you realize that on Shabbos you have a mitzvah to eat meat and drink wine? So now, when he says that, no, I didn't take that into consideration. So he's not being mischaret. He's not regretting that he ever made the neder, but he's saying I wouldn't have made the neder, including Shabbos and Yom Tov. I would have formulated it differently. I would have said it applies only to weekdays, let's say. So then we're saying that we can be matur the neder on that basis, even though there's no charota. Here, what we're saying is that Charota all by itself is enough. It would be enough to ask him, when you made this neder, were you thinking straight? And he says no, and that itself is enough of a reason to be matur the neder. What we can do is you can make that Charota itself into a Pesach, or instead, of course, we could find any one of a number of other Pesachim that would be available, as we learned in that book.
Now, this is not what I'm asking.
We really need to get on, but fine. Go ask one more thing, and then let's continue.
Okay, a Pesach means you have to find a specific reason that was unknown at the time of the neder. Right. The harata is something that's non-specific at all. And you cannot say that one equals the other.
It's not that one equals the other, but one can be the other in the sense of harata itself is a side effect that you didn't consider when you made the neder. A harata would be, now I regret having made that neder. If I had realized when I made that neder that I am going to come to regret it, then I might not have made the neder in the first place. Therefore, the harata becomes a pesach. But yes, the pesach could equally well be any of many other things that we can show that there's some effect that happened, that's happening or going to happen as a result of the neder, which the person didn't take in mind at the time. Yeah. All right, let's go on. We can clarify that further if you still don't understand, we'll clarify it later. Okay, let's go on.
No, I understand, but let's go on. Yeah.
Let's go on. Omalei Rava le Rav Nachman. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, I want you to realize Rav Nachman was Rava's Rebbe. He says, look, you should realize Chozi Mar, look, Rebbe, Hai Merabonan, the Osim Mar Rava, one of the Chachamim who came from the West, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, the Omar. And he told us, is the Kiku le Rabbanon le Breid Rabhuna Ba'oven. The Rabbanon one time got involved to be Matur Neder for the son of Rabhuna Ba'oven. V'sharu le Nidre, they were Matur the Neder. But you should know how harsh they were on him on the fact that he had made the Neder in the first place. The Omru le, after being Matur Neder, they told him, Zil uboi rachmi al nafshach, go daven for Rachmanus for yourself from Hashem, the chotos, because you did an Aveira by making that neder. The turning of Dimi, Achor did of Safra, as Rav Dimi, the brother of Safra, taught a Braisa, call on neder, when a person makes a neder, even though he later on fulfills the neder. Now, obviously, if he doesn't fulfill the neder, that's a pretty serious iser, but even if he fulfills it, Nikra Choyte, he's still called a sinner. Now, we've talked about before, and Tosfos mentions over here that we're not talking about every kind of neder. In particular, when a person makes a neder be'es tzara, when he's in a time of trouble, like Yaakov Avinu did when he's escaping from Esav, that's actually a very good thing. Then he's not called a choyte for that. Similarly, also a neder of hekdesh is a good thing. Here we're talking about the kind of nedarim that we've mostly been focusing on throughout the Masechta, where the person is going to deprive himself of something or other. So that kind of thing where they would tell the person that a priest called a choyte. Omer of Zvid Maikra, so Rav Zvid says, where is a pasuk that expresses that point? The pasuk says, v'chisechta linder lo yiyah b'chochet. The pasuk says, if you hold back from making a neder, there won't be a sin in you, which implies, holo chadalta ikachet, implying the converse is true. If you don't hold back, then there is a chet in you. So Rava is telling Rav Nachman, he was so impressed with look how seriously they take Nedarim in Eretz Yisrael, that after they're matter the neder, they tell the person how badly he had done by making that neder in the first place. By the way, we learned earlier in the Masechta that there were Chachamim who held that maybe you could use that kind of thing even as a Pesach for the neder. You could say, did you realize when you made the neder that it's an Aveira to do that? However, we ended up saying in the Gemara, you cannot do that. Because we always want to have, ultimately, even a Pesach requires a certain degree of Harata, not Harata on the whole neder, but at least the person has to say, I wouldn't have made the neder if I'd realized that. Well, if you tell him that this is an Aveira, no normal Yid is going to say, well, I don't care that it's an Aveira, I'm doing it anyway. Therefore, so that kind of thing you can't use because he may not sincerely say that he regrets it as a result of that. Okay. Going back now to Hafaras Nedarim. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Ha'omer l'ishtai, suppose a husband says to his wife, kol nedarim shetidori, any nedarim that you will make in the future, I do not want you to make those nedarim. So he tells her from now on, I don't want you to be making any nedarim. Or he says, ain's a neder. Or he says, this is not a neder. Loy omaklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. Now the Ran brings two explanations over here. The first explanation is that is what he said counting as a hakama? Does it count as validating the neder and making that now it's official and now he can't be made for it anymore? So according to that gear, so we don't have the words ains and neder, but rather what he says is when he says efshishidi dirty, he's saying that in effect it sounds like he's saying in effect whatever nedarim you made until now, good. But any nedarim you make in the future, I don't want to. So doesn't that imply a hakama? So the Braisa is telling us that no, that does not count as a hakama, because that does not count as a hakama. Then on the other hand, the Ran brings another explanation. What it means is like this. The first half of the Braisa that we said so far is talking about what is and isn't a valid hafara. If he says the words, if he says, I don't want you to be making nedarim, that does not constitute a hafara. Even though it amounts to saying, I don't like the nedarim you made so far, and I want to be made for them, he has to actually say the words mufalich. And if he doesn't, or if he says, ef shish tidori, I don't want you to make nedarim, or he says, according to this gear, so we do have the words ain's a neder, or he says, this neder that you made is not a neder, that's not hafara. He has to actually say the words mufalich. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, Yofa Osis, but if he tells his wife, you did good by making this neder, or V'ein Kamoisech, or he says, there's nobody like you, there's nobody as good as you, or he says, V'im lo nadarut madirechani, or he says, you know what, if you hadn't made this neder, I would have imposed this neder on you, all of those, Dvar of Kayomin, then what he said is valid. So according to the Ran's first explanation, the Braisa is contrasting Lashonis that do not work as a Hakama versus ones that do. So if he says, EF Shishitidori, I don't want you to make Nedarim from now on, implying that Nedarim that you made until now, fine, I'm accepting. But the ones from now on, no. Nevertheless, that wouldn't work as a Hakama because you need some kind of Lashon that amounts to a Hakama. So therefore, then on the other hand, if he says Yofa, Asis, etc., then that would be a valid hakama. According to his second explanation, the first part of the Braisa is talking about Lashonis that are not a valid hafara, and the second one is talking about ones that are a valid hakama. And according to that second explanation, the vote would be, since we're going to learn later on in the Gemara, when the husband establishes and confirms the neder, it doesn't need to be that he says it verbally. It's enough that he thinks it is mine. Well, fine. If he says yofa asis, if he said you did good, that still amounts to in his mind. He's thinking this is a good neder. Therefore, that's good. Only when he says according to that, in other words, according to that second explanation, any loshen that would amount to saying that he approves of this neder is considered an approval. Is considered a hakama. On the other hand, with hafara, he has to actually say a loshen that where he clearly uses the word hafara. Hafara takes more work, in other words, yeah. So now the Gemara continues. And the Ran has the word in here, Tanya, that this is another braisa, or maybe it's a continuation of the previous braisa. Now, we talked before about being made for Nedarim on Shabbos. Now let's get into a detail about it. A person should not say to his wife on Shabbos that the neder is mufra for you, or bottle lichi, or that the neder is bottle for you, which would be the way that he says it on weekdays. Rather, he tells her on Shabbos, take this food and eat it. Let's say it was some, whatever kind of food it is that she asked it on herself. Meat, let's say, or tliush si, or take and drink, and the neder is bottle on its own. In other words, so what it is like this. Since it's true, we said before, you're allowed to be made for nedarim on Shabbos, because otherwise a deadline is coming. Nevertheless, you should try to make a shin. So instead of using the usual lashon mufalich, instead you can use this method. But Rabbi Yechanan says, nevertheless, he would still have to be mevatalit in his heart. He would still have to think in his heart that the neder is bottle. So what about we just said that hafara needs to be with words? So here you actually have several different opinions of Rishonim. The Rosh brings an explanation from Rabbeinu Eliezer Mimitz, one of the Balei HaTosfos, who says that when we say over here beliboy, actually means that he would whisper the words mufalich. He wouldn't actually say it in a way that she could hear it. To her, within her hearing, he would just say tli v'ichli, tli v'shsi, but he would actually express the words mufalich, but he would say it quietly in a way that she doesn't hear. But the other, now another way of understanding it is that, the Rambam learns that there are actually two different ways for the husband. We touched on this at the beginning of this parak, that according to the Rambam, there were actually two different ways where the husband can be made for his wife's neder, or the father of his daughter's neder. He can do it verbally by saying mufalich, or some equivalent expression, or he can do it with action by giving her the food and telling her tliv ichli tliushsi. According to the Rambam, each of those is equally valid, and therefore we're saying on Shabbos, don't use that Afara method, instead use the giving her the food method. The Ravid, in fact, argues on the Rambam on that, and he says, what are you talking about? There's no separate way of a tliv ichli tliushsi. In fact, there's a Mishnah in Nazir, which we'll get to in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, that implies that when an Eved makes a neder, you can force him to be over on his neder, because he has no right to make the neder in the first place, but a wife you can't force like that, you can only be made for the neder. So what are you talking about? Giving her the food, and then and the Rambam uses the expression koifer. So in fact, the Noisa Kalim and the Rambam deal with that and on various angles. One of them being that when the Rambam uses the word koifer, he doesn't literally mean the husband forces her. He just means that putting the food in front of her is the equivalent of saying that the neder is bottled. So he doesn't need to explicitly say the words mufalich. The fact that he's giving her the food amounts to saying that the neder is bottled. And in fact, there's an explanation we talked about at the beginning of the parak. The Malbim on the Psukim points out, you have the words in the Pasuk, you have the word Hefer, Hefer lo b'yom sham, you have the word Hefer and you have the word Haini. So maybe the Rambam is saying that the words Haini and Hefer actually refer to the two different methods of canceling the neder. One is where you actually say the word Mufarlach, and the other is Haini, literally means to discourage her, is by giving her the food and telling her Tliva Ichli Tliva. So one second. The vote would be that according to the Rambam, either one can work on weekdays as well. On Shabbos, you should only use the one because you have the alternative. But on weekdays, according to the Rambam, you could use either one. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Bishamai says that on Shabbos, he would have to be mevatel in his heart, but on weekdays, he'd actually have to express it verbally with his lips. Or Bishilo says, weekday or Shabbos, you can be mevatel on your heart, you don't need to express it verbally. So the Ran has some discussion about it. There's a different girsa that according to Bishamai, b'Shabbos mevato b'libay, and in the evening once Shabbos is over, then moitzi b'sfasav. But the Ran says I don't really like that girsa. So he explains, in other words, that. Again, the Ran explains, if he doesn't tell her tliv ichli tliush si, then you need to say mufalich. But if he does say that, then it's enough to be mevatel in his heart, because then the combination of being mevatel mentally and of saying tliv ichli tliush si is enough to be mevatel the nether. As opposed to, then he says, the Rambam learns differently. The Rambam seems to say, it doesn't even need to be that he's mevatel in his heart. Just saying tliv ichli, tliush si is enough. And in fact, the Ravid questions the Rambam on that. So now you have one explanation, in fact, that they give, is that the Ravid may hold, like Rabbi Yezer Mimitz, that we said, that's quoted in the Rosh, that says that actually beliboy in our Gemara over here doesn't mean in his heart, but rather that he whispers it rather than saying it out loud. So the bottom line is, so you have several different opinions of Rishonim over here. The bottom line is, we want to do things differently on Shabbos than we do on weekdays. So one way of understanding it is, on Shabbos, you can get away with just thinking it in your mind and not have to actually say the words, because after all, at least you should try to make a shinui on Shabbos. So you think it in your mind, you tell her tliv ichli tliush si. The other understanding is that even on Shabbos, you would have to whisper it. You just don't say it out loud, whereas on other days of the week, you would have to. And then you have according to the Rambam, where on Shabbos you wouldn't even have to be thinking that you're mevatel in your heart, or even on weekdays, technically, all you need to do is tliv ichli tliush si, and that's an equally valid way of being mevatel the neder as saying mufarlich, which again the Ran and the Ravid are disagreeing with that point of the Rambam's. Okay. Shukriyach, everyone.